Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 6 is where I'd like to turn your attention if you have your Bible, or verse number 45, if we can put it on the screen. Amen. God is all the way good, even on snowy days. Some fly just hit me right in the head. Did you see that? It landed right there in my forehead. Anyway, Mark chapter 6, beginning to read there, verse number 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. One more verse before I'll let you be seated. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31. Just one verse there. It says this: What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is the thought. The purpose of the storm. Say that with me. The purpose of the storm. Would you pray? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are asking together in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that in these next few minutes, Lord, that you would speak, Lord, to this people. Lord, put words in my mouth and quicken my mind. And Lord, open our hearing and touch our hearts, I pray. Let all that is here and all that's done, Lord, be accomplished by you. That in the precious name of Jesus, that, Lord, your will would be accomplished here today. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. God is so good. I mean, all of the time. Amen. God's people go through trials, they go through temptations, they go through things just like every other person. But there's a huge difference with God's people. You see, God sometimes uses the circumstances of our own life, the conditions of our current state, whatever it might be, to examine us. To check us out. Will we serve God on a snowy day? Will we serve God when we're tired? Will we serve God no matter what the circumstance is? And you can only imagine all the different circumstances that come in life. Varied, and there are many. There are all kinds of things that come up. But serving God, no matter what comes, no matter what state we're in, even through the storm, praise the Lord. You see, Jesus Christ on his, during the time of his earthly ministry, and even including that which he gave unto the disciples, and during the time of the disciples' ministry, and even now in the New Testament church, I believe we are still the New Testament church. I believe God even now is doing what he did then. He, as he walked on earth in the form of a man, he ministered to the needs of man. Amen. Materially, physically, spiritually, every facet, every kind, every manner, every condition. Whether they were sick, whether they were rich, whether they were poor, whether they had authority, or whether if they did not, God ministered to them. Amen. In this opening text, you see, Jesus Christ saw them, quote unquote. Now, if you notice there in the reading, if you caught the fine points of where they were and what was going on, you see, just before this, miracles are being done. Crowds of people are being fed. Miracles are happening before their eyes, and they're participating in the great and wondrous things that God is doing. Now, Jesus eventually sent them away, and the crowd is now gone, and it's the disciples and Jesus. He tells them, makes them, instructs them, get in the boat and go to the other side. And Jesus went the other way. He went up by himself into a mountain to pray. Okay, that's where we are in the opening of the text. He saw them even while he was not with them. You see, they were following his will. They were out there in the boat because Jesus told them to be there. You know what? My mind goes to examples that are in scriptures that are lived out in our lives today. You know, there are those that are here that have participated in praying and in fasting and in seeking God's will. Even in the beginning of this new year, there are those of us that have been fasting, that have been praying, that have been asking God to show us, lead us, God, help us. You see, these disciples were obeying the Lord. I believe there's people here today obeying the Lord. You want to do God's will. You're here in church. I didn't see anybody tied up and bound and brought in here forcibly. I believe everybody here is here because they walked in of their own volition. They want to be here. Praise the Lord. At least I hope so. But he saw them. Jesus sees us. He sees us when we're in a difficulty in life. He sees us when we have opposition that comes up, even while we're doing what God tells us to do. God, in his word, tells us to fast and pray. We are following his word when we do that. When we seek after his face, we are doing what God told us to do. They were doing what God told him to do. Jesus saw them out in the boat while he was up on the mountain and he prayed. He was there alone and he saw them toiling in the water. Toiling means that they were struggling. You know, if you've ever been out in a small, I imagine it was a fair-sized fishing boat, but if it was 20 or 30 or 50 feet long, that's nothing to a storm on a sea. That's still a little boat. That's still, you know, even if you're out there in a Navy ship, those waves can be pretty big. The storms can be pretty adverse. And it can get pretty serious out there when you are toiling to keep your ship righted. Well, I imagine these guys were toiling. You know, you ever been in a boat in the water and you're trying to keep your little boat headed towards the wave so the wave don't tip you over? I have. In fact, I got tipped over once. It was not a good experience. I imagine these guys, even following what Jesus told them to do, were not having a good experience. They were in a very tough spot. Jesus saw them rowing. And if they went out there after they ate and after the people left, I imagine it was still daylight, and now they're rowing over to the other side and they're fighting against the wind and they're rowing over the waves, and you know, they go 10 feet this way and the waves and the wind bring them 20 feet that way, and they can row another 10 feet and they're making very slow progress. Scriptures tell us that it was the fourth watch of the night. Get this now. It's no longer 7 o'clock in the evening. It's not 8 or 10 o'clock, or it's not even midnight. The fourth watch is from 3 to 6 a.m. So somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., these guys have been fighting the waves and the wind for a bunch of hours. And now you're not only concerned for the ship, but you are entering the area of exhaustion. You're coming up to the point of the limitations of your physical ability to continue to fight. There's some people today. There's some people right here under the sound of my voice that you're trying to do what it is that God wants you to do. You want to live for the Lord. You're doing what God has said in His Word. You have been praying and fasting and you're seeking His face. You're trying to do His will. And it seems like I've been doing it for as long as I can. I'm just going to keep on doing what God told me to do. You're toiling. You're like these guys, doing the best they can under the circumstances. Sometimes circumstances come against us. Well, that was the case here. 3 to 6 a.m., the fourth watch of the night. Jesus leaves the mountain. He leaves the shoreline, and He begins to walk out on the sea toward them. Now, God can do whatever He wants to do. God can do it any way He wants to do it. God is not limited to the mindset of men. Amen. Now, in the mindset of men, the carnal man would say, well, what can one man do that's up on a mountain or standing on the shore and he's all by himself and he don't have a boat? What is he going to do to help us? God can do whatever He wants to do, any way He wants to do it, but God is always able. Amen. God did not need a boat to go out there on the ocean, on the sea. Amen. It did not hinder Him that the waves were big. It did not deter God that the wind was whipping. You know, circumstances don't stop God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He came walking upon the sea. And there's a clue here. There's a very important little part. I hope you catch it. That He would have passed them by. Did you catch that part? Here comes their answer. The God that can do anything. That God can do it. The God, the only God, that can do it any way He wants. The Creator, the Maker of the heavens and the earth. The one who put the sea there. The one that made the wind blow. The one that is all powerful and in control. That God came walking on the sea. Now, the sailors called it circumstances. They were in a bad way. They were exhausted. They've been rowing for many hours. They haven't yet made it to the other side. They're still having their problem. In fact, they were afraid. Sometimes we get afraid in the flesh. You see that car spinning around you, next to you on the highway, and it's snowy and icy. Jesus! You know, we might be afraid, but God's still in control. God's in control even on a snowy day. He says unto them, be of good cheer. You know, nobody in that boat was having a good day. Nobody in that boat was all happy-faced and smiley. Nobody in that boat was of good cheer. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Do you know who Jesus is? Be of good cheer. Even if you're in a storm, be of good cheer. Even if you're going through difficulty, be of good cheer. Even if you're going through circumstances, be of good cheer. When you know who Jesus is and you hear His voice, Jesus said, it is I. You know, they recognized His voice. They knew that it's the Lord. It is I, be not afraid. And yet, they knew that it was Him. They thought, is that a ghost? Our flesh wants to take over. Even if you know who Jesus is, these guys, the disciples, who have been walking and talking and being a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ, they have been with Him day and night. They have been with Him in ministry. They just saw the miracle of the loaves. They had just seen the thousands fed. They just took part in the miracles of God on the shore the day before. It says, they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Has anybody in here ever had God do a miracle in your life? Amen. There's more than a few hands. God has done miracles in people's lives. There in the Bible, those guys in the boat, yes, in Scripture, yes, in our own lives, in this very church, God has done miracles in our lives. Says they considered not the miracle of the loaves. You know, it is possible that you could be a child of God and wanting to do His will and able to follow after Him. And, you know, if you'll let that carnal nature take over you, then maybe you won't remember the miracle that God did in your life. I tell you what, it is a miracle that I am living for God. It's a miracle that you are living for God. It is a miracle from God. And yet, Scriptures tell us that their hearts were hardened. We have to beware. It gives us a warning. You think you're better than the disciples that are recorded in Scripture? We have to be careful that our heart is not hardened against the purpose and the will of God. You see, the reasons that the disciples' heart were filled with doubt and with fear, it's revealed in Scriptures. If you just consider and look at their situation, there are some times then and even now, in they and in us, a lack of prompt obedience. Amen. We know what pleases God. Yes, God does want us to serve Him with all of our heart and with all of our strength. And God wants us to be faithful unto Him. And God wants us to serve Him. And God wants us to worship Him. And God wants us to be faithful unto Him. And God wants us to be a part of the kingdom of God and to do His will. We know that. And yet, in the flesh, we don't always do it. We sometimes fall short of what we know God wants us to do. Self-interest and concern for their own, quote, situation. Well, Pastor, you don't know the circumstances. I'm so glad I don't know all the circumstances. There are so many problems in people's lives. Now, if you want to tell me your problem and ask to pray, then I will certainly listen and I will pray and I will help you to the limitation of my own ability. But your answer really is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Almost assuredly, my answer is going to be, let's ask God. Let's pray for God to intervene. Amen. You see, their answer was in Jesus Christ. Our answer is in Jesus Christ. Yeah, they were concerned for their safety. They knew that their ship could sink out there in that storm. Many ships have sunk in terrible storms. And many sailors have died at sea. You see, they showed a lack of understanding of the miracles of God. We need to understand just how great God is. We need to comprehend beyond our physical knowledge. You see, God is not limited by what we know. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this mess. Well, okay, you don't have to know how to get out of the mess. When you trust God, He will bring you where He wants you to be. And many times, what we fear the most, what we are afraid of, is not what God wants for your life. What we think is the worst thing may be just a turn in the road of where God is bringing you. Amen. You see, we got to learn not to run from God. Amen. If you're having problems and, I just don't feel like going to church, the worst thing you can do is let your flesh win over the spirit and stop doing what you know to do in God. You know that God wants you to be faithful to Him. Then don't let the flesh make you unfaithful. Naomi, in the Old Testament, was subject unto circumstances. Yes, there was a famine in the land, and they thought, well, we got to leave God's people and go to another land where we'll probably be better off. You know, she left and went to Moab. She went out full. She had a husband. She had two sons. They brought their belongings. They moved to another land. And in the land of Moab, it's like going out into the world. Well, I need to work overtime. Well, I need the holiday pay. Well, I need to get... You know what? If you'll put anything in this world before you're serving Jesus Christ, it will not be good for you. And I don't care what it is. Oh, Pastor, but it's the best. It's what I've been hoping and praying for. If it's going to take you out of the will of God, it's not the will of God for your life. Amen. Naomi went out full, and she came back empty. Her husband died. Her sons, both sons died. And she tried to tell her daughter-in-laws to stay, and she was going to go back by herself, empty, hoping that she could somehow renew her life. Well, God had mercy on her. God brought her daughter-in-law with her. She lost almost everything when she went to Moab. But in God's mercy, He restored her. Amen. Now, you don't have to lose everything. But if you'll come back to God, He can restore you. Amen. If you find yourself in a place surrounded by the world and underneath the circumstances and beyond your own control, you need to come back to God. You need to come back to Jesus. You need to come back and serve the Lord. And He can restore you. The children of Israel were in 400 years of bondage in Egypt. Yes, they went into the land and they were blessed. They were put in the land of Goshen. They were put in the best and they multiplied and they became stronger and more numerous than even the land of Egypt. They became the dominant people of the land. They were blessed. And then when Pharaoh figured that out and thought, well, they could join with our enemies if a war ever broke out and we need to subject them. They were put in slavery and bondage. And they were made to serve with rigor, hard living in a land of captivity. And yet, by the mercy and the hand of God in His time of deliverance, He brought them out by a mighty, strong hand. He delivered them out of Egypt. You know, God can bring us out of the world no matter how long we've been there. No matter what portion or part of our life was wasted there. They were brought out. And they were told to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The plagues had happened. They got utterly thrown out of the land. They were leaving the land of Egypt and heading into the promised land. They were going to where the land was going to be flowing with milk and honey. They were headed to the place that God wanted them to be. But they hadn't arrived yet. There was a desert on one side, a mountain on the other side, the Red Sea set before them, and an army on chariots racing behind them. What are we going to do now? We can't run to the left, we can't run to the right, we're blocked from going forward, and we can't go back. What are we going to do now? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God did it. Moses obeyed, stretched out the rod, the waters parted. You know the story. They were delivered by the hand of God in a miraculous event where they walked to freedom on dry ground through the Red Sea with a wall of water on either side into the land, toward the land of promise. You know, God wants to deliver us even when it seems that it was impossible. Even when you're the first person in your family to live for God. You know what? One person can change the destiny of a family. Amen. Amen. You can choose to serve the Lord, and it can change the destiny of your family. Amen. Yeah, and you also know the story that when they went out to spy the land, oh, we can't take them. They're mightier than we, and we are not able. And, you know, 10 out of 12 of the spies said we can't do it. Two of them said we should do it right now. We got to go quickly. Let's do it. What could have taken them a number of days ended up taking them 40 years because God was going to purge all those that did not believe. All those that did not believe, they died during that 40 years. And their descendants walked into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb, the exclusion, they got to go in. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're not walking by flesh. We're not walking by the carnal realities of life. We got to walk by faith. Walk in Jesus Christ. Walk in what we believe in Him. You see, there is a great power of the blood of Jesus Christ that is against Satan. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, we are believers in Jesus Christ. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is, the devil." If the devil could have killed you, you would be dead. Long time ago. I believe it with all my heart. I know it. God has saved me so many times. Yeah, He saved me when I obeyed Acts 2:38. But He saved me from a head-on collision more than once. He saved me from sickness more than once. Amen. He saved me from my own fleshly weaknesses more than once. Amen. God is able to keep us. Amen. And the devil is not in control. He does not have power over my life. God is my keeper. Amen. Jesus is the Lord of my life. You see, there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 31. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." The name of Jesus is above every other name. There is no other God but He. He alone is my Savior. He's my keeper. He's my healer. He's my God. that verse right behind me, Acts 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He tells us what to do, how to do it, and why. I am so glad that I walk in this way. Amen. There is no other way to get to Jesus Christ but this way. This is the gateway to salvation. Amen. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse number 2. Let me read. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Okay, take note of what's happening here. This guy's been crippled all his life. And they bring him to the temple every day to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He was just looking for mercy from the people, some change, if you will. They're looking for a little help from some of the people that walk into the temple. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Can you give something? Would you let me have something? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This guy's talking to me. He just spoke to me. And he asked me to look at them. You can imagine his eyes got a little bigger. You imagine his, maybe a little smile came on his face. Oh, you're going to be merciful. Thank you, sir. I can just imagine. Can you see it in your mind? He's looking for a coin, perhaps, or he's looking for something from them. Verse number 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6. This is not what he expected to hear. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Can you imagine? Did his smile turn to a frown? Well, I don't have any money. Can you just imagine this picture right here? The guy's emotions is going up and down this roller coaster hill. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Took him by the hand, lifted him up, and his ankles and his legs, his feet gained strength. And as he was being pulled, he stood up. Can you imagine? Walking and leaping and praising God. You know, he got a lot more than a coin or two. God is able to give you a lot more than what you ever expected. It was beyond his furthest imagination. He did not even conceive of such a thing would take place that day. You know, God can do a miracle in your life that you didn't even know was possible. Amen. This guy, from his birth, Scripture tells us, to that point, was lame. Verse number 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, talking about the Jesus that we know, even by him does this man stand before you whole. You know, that whole event took place that Jesus might receive the glory. Amen. Whatever kind of thing that is going on in your life. Amen. Amen. John, whatever is going on in your life in the Navy, God can get glory out of it. Amen. Andre, whatever is going on in your life, God can get glory out of it, my friend. Amen. Whatever's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in your children, no matter what's going on in your home, it doesn't even matter what the circumstance of this life might be. I tell you that God can receive the glory out of your life. Musicians, would you come? We learn important lessons. We learn to believe in Jesus Christ and to have prompt obedience unto God's Word. We learn that the Lord is always on time. He is an on-time God. Amen. We learn that Jesus never fails. Amen. Even when they don't have any hope left, Jesus never fails. Amen. Be of good cheer. When the car is spinning next to you and it's scary on the highway, be of good cheer. God's still with you. Amen. Even if you're sick in your body, God's still a healer. Amen. Amen. Even if the circumstance of life right now that you're in, I tell you, we can lift up our hands and give God glory. And God can get glory out of your current circumstance. Amen. God can get glory out of where you are right now and where He wants to bring you. How that God wants to deliver you. How that God is able to help you. Amen. Would you join me? Would you lift your hands? Would you magnify Him?